All right, would everybody flip your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:14. Now is the time in this service that we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Come on, bro.
Verse 14. Amen. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. Mm-hmm. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was not counting man's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors.
Amen.
As though God was making his plea through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Amen.
God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
I was reading the scriptures for earlier this week. Definitely made me think about the cross in a couple ways. First thing was just Christ's love.
Yeah.
You know, to go ahead, go through something that excruciating just to die for us so we could be saved, so that we may reach out for him.
Come on.
You know, and for me, I really doubt I would have ever made the decision to change my life and to follow God if it wasn't for this love. You know, especially for me, thinking of it from, you know, a father's love aspect. My father, you know, when he was alive, traveled a lot, and then he died when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was huge. That was something that really just brought me to that decision.
That's right.
The other part of it that really made me think about the cross was the reconciliation part. You know, I know if it wasn't for the cross, none of us would be able to be reconciled to God.
That's right.
Yeah. We'd all be living the trivial lives that we were living before we made this decision to follow this.
True.
You know, I know for myself, before I made the decision to reconcile myself with God, because God's there. He's reconciled with us. He's, hey, come to me.
Come on,
I'm,
bro.
I'm waiting.
That's right.
So it's our decision that we have made. But before I made that decision, I was wild. You know, I was out there. I was in the streets. Had a lot of illegal stuff going on in my life. I had my fingertips in a lot of stuff and had no issue with it. At the point I kind of almost enjoyed it. You know, because I didn't see really what I was doing, but you know, I was involved with drug trafficking, any type of weapon I could get my hands on, either selling or, you know, having myself. You know, it was to the point where, you know, I would carry weapons to school or I would be selling drugs right there in school. It didn't matter to me, you know, because I didn't know that I didn't understand the chance I had to be reconciled with God because of the cross. When I finally learned, you know, changed my whole life in here. I'm in front of y'all, but
come on, bro.
It's, you know, definitely the cross gave us that opportunity to be reconciled with God, gave us that chance to come to him and be with him.
Amen.
So now I'm going to give Brittany a chance to share her heart about what the cross means to her.
So when I think about the cross, I think about gratitude for the sins that I committed before I was a disciple, but even more than that, I think about, you know, I'm so much more grateful for the sins that I was saved from. And I looked at all of the girls at my school and just how their lives consist of so many sins and the same sins that God spared me from. The other day at school, it was a couple weeks ago, a bunch of kids came in and they were, like, all dressed up. And I was thinking, like, they're not a part of, like, the same club or, like, what? I don't get it. What's going on? Come to find out, they all had a court date after school. And they were all, you know, they had all been busted for a really big party that, you know, a ton of people were involved in. And, of course, there was alcohol because in my school, like, alcohol is, like, well, like, liquor and all this stuff is, like, their idol. Like, that's, like, the big thing. That's what everybody does. But, you know, I think some of them might have had to go to jail or different things, but I think just going to court is kind of scary in itself, and
that's
I just
right.
become so much more grateful that I don't have to reap the same consequences as them. When I chose to become a disciple at the age of 13, I'm 17 now, but when I became a disciple when I was 13 years old, I chose the path of love over lust, of gratitude rather than greed, and of selflessness rather than selfishness. I'm so grateful that God spared my life at such a young age, because I truly believe that it was right at that point that there was a fork in the road.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't become a disciple, I know that I would have gone down completely the other way, and done exactly what the rest of my friends did.
Yep.
I think of, like when I was first asked to share, I became really insecure, because sometimes I think that people will think, she can't relate to me. You know, she doesn't know what I go through. She doesn't know the sins I've been in, and she hasn't been in those sins. So, you know, she doesn't know anything, whatever. But in Romans 16:19, it talks, God says that he wants us to be innocent of evil. Mm-hmm. And that just helps me to be so much more grateful for what he's given me. I think of my dad, and he had this friend in high school a long time ago. And he said he was like this big shot guy, you know, buff, cool, everybody liked him. He had this huge party, you know, that like everybody came to, I guess. And he tried drugs for the first time there, and because he tried drugs for the first time, he became a vegetable for the rest of his life. And I just think that, you know, like one time having sex can get you pregnant. Mm-hmm. One time doing drugs can kill you, or,
yep,
you know, you can end up like a vegetable.
That's right.
Just as one decision can reap bad consequences, I think that one decision can also give you eternal life. And that's the path that I chose. So.
Amen. I've heard a quote. The quote I've heard says, "Who you are speaks so loudly to me that I can't hear what you're saying." It's a quote about hypocrisy. And the sad thing is that in so many churches, in so many lives of people who claim to be Christians, their lives don't match what they say.
Come on, bro. Come
because of it, when we reach out to people, so many people, "I don't want to come to church." Because they've known people who claim to be Christians but don't walk the walk.
Wow.
I've turned this quote around. See, I believe you can also say, "Who you are speaks so loudly to me that I have got to stop and listen to what you're saying."
Yes.
That's who Jesus was.
Yep. Amen.
And you know, as we hold up our campus and teen ministry today, I believe that's who they are. You're going to hear from and hear about some young men and women that I believe it's not just what they say, because talk can be cheap.
That's right.
But it's the convictions of their hearts.
Right.
And the decisions that they've made, that you need to listen to what you're about to hear. We're going to hear from two brothers today that lead our two campus Bible talks. The first brother is Anthony Franklin. Amen? Now, Anthony moved here on the mission team from Portland, Oregon, where he was employed. He was paid $700 a month just to work with their youth ministry, their teen ministry. Amen? And he was in a church that was doing awesome, that was winning many souls, raising up many leaders. And so his dream to become an evangelist could have easily been seen in that church, where they were already at a place they could afford to hire young men and young women, like we need to be by the end of the year, amen? So we can hire some of them. But he was asked to come and help us start our campus and teen ministries, and he gave all that up, moved out here, got a full-time job so he can take care of some debt, and then crank his ministry at night. Amen? His dream is to still be an evangelist and to lead a church one day. Amen? If not, churches. So, he's first today. And then secondly is Joel Parlour. Now, I've known Joel since he was 12, when he was one of the back row boys. Amen? Now, not the back street boys. No, not them. Amen? I'm talking the back row boys. You know who the back row boys are, right? They're the boys that have to come to church because their parents make them. And so they sit in the back row like and pass the notes during church. It's kind of like I was when I went to church, you know, as a kid. But I've seen Joel grow up and develop a conviction to know God, to love God, and now to preach so others can know God. And so secondly, you're going to hear from Joel Parlor. Amen. Give these guys your hearts. Amen. Support. Listen. I believe who they are speaks very loudly. So we need to listen to what they have to say.
Amen. Come on in.
All right. Wow.
Romans chapter 8.
Come on, bro.
Light it up, bro.
Romans chapter 8. You know, it's been just so incredible to see what God's doing through our campus ministry and team ministry. You know, I was just thinking about it before I came to service today, and I was just thinking, man, God is adding so many to our number.
Amen.
If you guys remember, just last week, week before last, Henry was added to our number, and man, Henry, what an incredible guy. You got to meet this guy. But also, man, recently, even this week, God's been adding to our number as Billy's going to get baptized after service. Isn't that pretty incredible, guys? God's really been moving in his heart. And, you know, I remember us talking, and during the studies, he said, you know, bro, I appreciate all that, but I've already been baptized. And we talked a little bit more about it, and he said, I asked him, what was the reason for it? He said, you know, to be honest, it was just because everyone else was kind of doing it. And I knew it's something I should do, but I did it because most people wanted me to, and I wanted to. I didn't want to feel left out. Mm. And you're just super honest.
Come on.
Something I appreciate so much.
Come on.
God can use a heart when we're really honest.
Yep.
And we talked, and today, let me tell you something. He knows why he's getting baptized, because his sins are going to be forgiven, and he's going to live a new life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Romans 8, verse 28, the theme of our the sermon, Joel and I feel so appreciative for Joel being able to share the pulpit with him.
Amen.
What an incredible man of faith. And man, he's going to have a lot of great things to say. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
Amen.
God here says, God works for the good of everyone who does two things.
Come on.
Who have been called to his purpose, but that have been called to love him.
Come on, bro.
Here you go.
Now, Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if you guys know that, or you know, maybe you forgot or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Valentine's is coming up. Yeah, especially sisters. Valentine's Day is coming up. And love is in the air, they say. You know, everyone's like looking for that special someone, giving that little card to someone, be my Valentine, you know?
Oh,
the little candy heart, I care about you. You know, those little Valentine's hearts, I don't know if you guys got any of those.
Oh,
bought them for yourself and acted like they were someone else gave these to me. You know what I mean? But love is something so misunderstood by the world.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, 1 John 2. This is where we're going to spend most of our time here. 1 John.
Come on, bro.
1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 9.
Come on, bro.
The first point is love is forgiveness. Love is forgiveness. 1 John 2, verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light. Do we got people claiming to be in the light?
Yeah.
Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness.
Yeah.
Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. And there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. You know, verse 9 and 11 talk about if you're not loving your brother, if you don't love the brothers and sisters around you, you are in total darkness. You're in total darkness. It's not just, oh, well, I'm not choosing to love them. I don't really know a whole lot. No, no, no. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, you're in flattened darkness.
That's right. Come on.
We've got to love one another. So even the first verse is very self-explanatory. The second verse here in verse 10 says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. You know, I was looking up the Greek for this, agapo, and the actual Greek word for love means to treat as precious. To prize, to respect, to value, to be devoted to. So the scripture even literally talks about whoever values his brother, whoever respects his brother, whoever's devoted to his brother, whoever's devoted to his sister in Christ. Do you think of your brothers and sisters like that?
Come on.
That you just treasure them like that? Or do you not really have deep relationships?
Come on now.
With a lot of people, brothers and sisters. The scripture is clear here that we've got to love our brothers and sisters. Now, the point, remember, was love is forgiveness. Well, what does that got to do with forgiveness? The scripture talks about whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. Just think about that. Nothing in him to make him stumble. If I get an argument, say me and Patrick, you know, and this is probably true, we've probably got an argument. You get in arguments with your roommate. Hey, could you not leave the seat down or, you know, whatever, up or whatever, you know. Dude, could you clean that up, please? Or, you know, man, your laundry stinks, whatever. Okay. So, say Patrick and I are getting in an argument. And say he's got something against me or I got something against him. The scripture talks about if I love him, anything he does will not make me stumble. If I truly love him, he could say something totally off the wall. This guy could cuss at me. He could say the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and it's not going to make me stumble because I love him. The question is, do you really love him? Or do people make you struggle a lot? Like when you get in arguments, like you feel... It's funny how arguments can test you more than can the other person.
Yeah.
Like when you take a step back from the argument and you look at the argument, you go, I didn't really learn a whole lot about the other person, but I should have learned about how I respond to arguments.
Oh, come on now.
You know what I mean? The scripture teaches there's nothing in him to make him stumble if we love one another.
Yeah.
1 Peter 4:8, we're not going to turn there, but it says, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, when you really love someone, their sin doesn't tick you off. You know, and that's been something I've had to learn the hard way. You know, you can get so ticked off, it's, what is your problem? Why are you not being righteous? Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Where somebody else, you feel like, man, they're in such sin, but you go from indignant to actually... unrighteously angry, like bitter a little bit, like, what the heck is that guy's problem? I never go into sin. I can't believe that brother. I can't believe that sister. Why'd she talk to me like that? And when you just get this bitter attitude, the scripture's very clear that we've got to have a heart. There's nothing in him to make him stumble if we love each other. You know, we got to have mercy on each other and forgive each other. Now, what stops us from doing that? Let's just think about it here. What stops us from being able to forgive one another?
Come on,
you know what? What you said was totally wrong, but I'm going to respond the righteous way.
Yeah.
I'm going to really love you. What prevents us from doing that? You know, I believe it's because the problem is we don't want to love others when we don't feel loved. You ever notice that? You know, I was talking to Henry, and before he became a disciple, we were studying the Bible, and he said, you know what I think a lot of the problem in my life is? See, Anthony, I just feel like I'm looking for unconditional love. Like, I'm looking for unconditional love in people that, not God, like, in people. I'm looking for that. And I talked to him, I said, Henry, that's not always going to happen. You're going to get people, they're going to give you conditional love.
Mm.
When you tick them off, they're not going to love you.
Mm.
When you make them mad, they're not going to love you. When you say something dumb, they're not going to love you. And he said, you know, you're right, man. Can I get that love from God? Absolutely, bro. You can absolutely get that unconditional love to God. That God's going to love you no matter what you do. 1 John 4:7. You know, love's not always reciprocal. Now, I know we got a lot of campus students here, so hopefully you guys know what reciprocal is. But reciprocal means it's given back, okay? So if you give, you get something back, okay? So here, a lot of times we'll love if we feel love.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? Like, it's so easy to love, like, the person that's, like, our family. Or it's so easy to love them because we know they love us.
Yeah.
But when we got that person that's being a jerk or really angry at us.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Always seems to have an attitude towards us.
Yeah.
It's very difficult for us to love them. 1 John 4:7 talks about this. Dear friends, let us love one another.
for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Come on.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Yep.
Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another.
Yeah.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Come on.
The scripture, when I read this, I go, wow, God's love is made complete in us. You know, you think about Jesus coming to the earth. Do we love him first?
No.
Do we love God first? I mean,
no.
Those of you who have decided to be in the light, decided to really go after God, did you love him before he loved you?
No.
You didn't. Well, I remember when I was in the world, there was absolutely no love of God. To be honest, I didn't really know a whole lot about God, so how could I love him?
Come on.
Yep. But while I didn't love him, he sent his Son and loved me.
Right.
See, that we see that relationship with God, what true love is. See, God loves us when we didn't love him first. That's what true love is, guys.
Yeah.
You guys want to know what true love is? Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I was in the world, you know, it's like this romantic, oh, hey, I got feeling towards you, so I'm in love, or that's love. That's not real love. Real love doesn't have to be reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
Real love does not have to be reciprocal.
Come on,
and we don't have to get it back. You know, what if Jesus walked around with that attitude?
Yeah.
I'm not loved, so I'm not going to love.
Wow.
Like Jesus went around going, man, nobody respects me.
Yeah.
But, how you doing, man?
Yeah.
And he had this little chip on his shoulder because
Uh-oh.
He didn't feel loved.
Uh-oh.
But you don't see that in the scriptures, guys.
Right.
You see Jesus not loved, hated, and yet he was still able to give his total, complete heart.
Come on now.
Do you do that?
Come on.
When
Come
you're on, sinned against. When someone's got an attitude towards you, do you give your whole heart?
Come
or,
on, bro.
Or do you only give 100% when other people are giving 100% to you? Are you kind of holding back when people don't give their whole heart to you? Luke 6.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Luke 6, verse 32. Why is love not reciprocal? Well, one, because Jesus loved you when you didn't love him.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're following the example of God, guess what we got to do? Love others when they don't love us.
Yep, talk about it.
Luke 6, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you?
Mm-hmm.
Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment and credit, is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back.
Come on.
Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful. Just as your Father is merciful. Here, Jesus teaches very clearly that we have to have a heart of giving and not expecting something back. You know, the problem is a lot of times we see love as like a loan. Like we give a loan or we take out a loan, and guess what the person that gave us the loan expects? I want my money back with interest.
Yeah.
A lot of times we can do that. We can love someone, and that's what we expect. Like, we're loving them, so they'll love us.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Come on now.
Loving somebody, you're not loving them out of pure heart, but you're loving them because you just don't feel loved. But when you have a great relationship with God, it doesn't happen like that.
Right.
The cup gets filled, and it overflows. You can give love because God's giving you love.
Yep.
But when you come with an attitude of, I'm only going to love you if you love me back. You're going to have a very hard life. Even sinners do that. Think about it. When you were in the world, you were good to people that were good to you. You were good to people that were good to you. Generally, you didn't want to hurt somebody that was being good to you. Even sinners do that. Guys, we got to have a heart. Nothing's going to make us stumble when we get in a relationship, when we get in an argument with our brothers because we love them, but also that love is not reciprocal always. It's not always. Now, prayerfully, as disciples, are we going to give love back when we get love?
Yes.
Amen. Absolutely. We need to be doing that. But you can't expect it from relationships. Point number two, love is action. Let's go back to 1 John 3.
Come on, bro.
You know, like father, like son. You know, that scripture said you will be sons of the Most High. Like, if you do what God wants, you'll be sons of the Most High. You know, a son is the spitting image of his father. You know that saying, like father, like son?
Yeah.
You know, like when you see a dad, man, you guys look way similar. You know, like Joel, it's cool, so cool, like seeing Joel and Roger together. You know, it's like, that's awesome. You know, but you're in the image, you're the image of your father. Guys, do you want to be the image of God?
Come on now, that's right.
The image of God is he loved you when you didn't love him.
Come on, bro.
You want to be like him?
Come on, bro.
Love others when you're not being loved.
Amen.
You know, be kind to those who are wicked. Forgive your husband or wife, even if they don't deserve it. Serve your roommate, even if they don't serve you.
Uh-oh.
You give 100% to those who only give 50% to you.
Come on, bro.
Your reward will be in heaven, guys. We got to have a heart to serve God. 1 John, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 16. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth.
Amen.
This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. What is love? Verse 16 says, this is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid his life down for us.
Wow.
That's what real love is, when you lay down your life for other people. You know, like the, when I was in the world, I thought love was... I was reading this this letter this girl 4 or 5 years ago gave me. And I read the whole letter. She had wrote a 2-page letter of, man, I think you're awesome. And man, you open doors for me. And she goes on and on and on about, like, the person I want to be with is, like, nice and, like, does great stuff. And went on and on and on. And it's so funny, we laugh at that, but in the world, that's what we think. Like, love is some kind of emotional feeling. Like, well, I love you because there's a chemical connection or there's an emotional connection. Like, that's what love is. Like, love consists of if we like somebody. I remember that's what I thought in the world.
Right.
That's why, just like Henry was looking for unconditional love, that's why I threw myself into impurity.
Mm.
That's why I threw myself to sleeping with women.
Mm.
Very honestly. Because I didn't feel loved.
Yep, come on, bro.
And I wanted love
yep.
in the wrong places.
That's right.
Here we see, that's not what love is. It's not an emotional feeling.
Amen, bro.
You can feel not like not loving someone. Does that
yep.
mean a husband or wife should divorce?
Mm.
When you don't feel like loving each other? No.
Mm.
Love is not a feeling. It says here, it's not with words and tongue, but it's actions and truth.
Come on.
I was looking at Valentine's Day stuff, and I was just thinking, I wonder how big of a holiday Valentine's Day is. Like, how much money do we spend
Uh-oh.
On Valentine's Day
Uh-oh.
Stuff? I was just looking it up. Only on Valentine's Day, 180 million Valentine's cards will be bought. 180 million cards will be bought. Okay? Flowers. The combined wholesale value of flowers. This is last year, so it's probably going to be more this year. It's $422 million.
Wow.
Spent on flowers. That special somebody. Oh, man, I love you. You're awesome. Jewelry was sold. Now, where's Jason? Let's show, Brad. Oh, you say, okay. Jewelry, there's over
28,527 jewelry stores that sell over $2.4 billion worth of merchandise. $2.4 billion. You know, on Valentine's Day, just on Valentine's Day, there's so many marriages, hundreds of thousands. In a year, the average, it's a little bit higher than this, like it was last year, but 2.2 million marriages happen. 2.2 million. Wow. In the United States in 2005, there were 7.5 new marriages per 1,000 people and 3.6 divorces per 1,000.
Wow.
Is that what love is? Like there's 7.5 new marriages per 1,000 people and then 3.6 divorces per 1,000. Half of those are going to get divorced just that first year.
Wow.
Guys, that's the world we live in. That's so mixed up. Satan gets in there and makes us think love is some kind of emotional connection.
That's right.
Or is some kind of feeling. Love is not feeling. Love is not words or tongue. The Bible says it's action, and we got to have a deep conviction about
that.
Love is action. You know, John 10, verse 17, it says one reason God loves, it's the shepherd and the sheep. Let's turn over there. John 10.
Come on, bro.
This is a little bit extra for you guys. I didn't plan on this one, but that's okay. John 10. Yeah, you know, I love to be giving. You guys some extra stuff here. John 10, verse 17. The reason my Father loves me. Agape love. Same thing we were talking about the whole time. John 10, 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of my own accord.
Wow.
What's the reason God loved Jesus so much? Yeah, he's his son, and that's the reason. But one reason is because Jesus laid down his life. Like, that's a reason God loved Jesus so much. Because he was willing to give up his life. No one took it from him. No one forced him to give his life for us.
Yep.
But he gave it of his own will. Guys, we have a deep conviction of that same thing that we want one reason God loves us to be is because we lay our lives down willingly.
Come on, bro. Come on.
We
bro.
Lay our down lives down willingly.
Man.
Let's go back to 1 John 3.
Come on, bro.
Hopefully, 1 John 3. In 1 John 3:19, it was talking about this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. How do we know? We know the truth if we love with actions. I want to challenge you guys today. I want to challenge you. How much of your love is really action? Like when you say, hey bro, I really love you. Hey sis, I really love you. How much of that's action? How much of that is not just words or tongue, but it's action? You know, I was reading in the newspaper the top five forms of evangelism among Protestant denominations.
Come on, bro.
And, man, it really helped me to see that even the religious world doesn't know that love is action. You got to do something. You got to get in deep relationships with people. You know, it says here, the top five forms.
Come on, bro.
The top five forms. 75% of those congregations, Vacation Bible School is their top form of evangelism.
Wow.
That's the top way they get people and they evangelize, Vacation Bible School. 59% it's literature. Oh, hey, let me give you this flyer. Okay.
Believe it. Ooh, yep.
Flyer.
I believe
it. Let me give this flyer. Not that deep relationship you see with Jesus when he talked one-on-one about sin.
Come on,
when he
guys,
talked
yeah.
one-on-one about the struggles of life.
What it's all about.
You know,
yeah,
events and musical events was 56% and 51%. Hey, come to our big event. We got hundreds of people that are going to be there. You'll fit right on in. It'll be awesome.
Come on.
Maybe pray Jesus in your heart. Talk about having a faith-only decision, and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Something we never see Jesus do. And then mailings and flyers were 50%. I'll just mail something to you. And I thought to myself, if that's how the religious world loves, it's useless.
If that's
all the religious world does, that's useless. You wanna love with action, guys? Do you guys want to love with action?
Come on, bro.
Okay. If you want to love with action, then, guys, you've got to be doing something with your faith. You've got to be doing something. Go share your faith tomorrow.
Come on, bro.
And do it with the toughest person you can look at.
Come on, bro.
Like, you look at him, yeah, that guy just looks flat tough. He's got tattoos all over the place. I'm going to share my faith with that guy. You know? You go up to the sharpest woman you ever seen in your life. You go, she flat needs to hear about the gospel.
That's right.
You know? It does not matter. We can't love with just words or tongue, guys. We've got to get in people's lives and share the gospel.
That's right.
You know, if we don't love with actions, our Christianity is fake.
That's right.
You've got to say, I'm not going to live in mediocrity.
Come on.
I'm not afraid to talk to people. I want to seek and save the lost like Jesus did. I want to love like Jesus did.
Come on, bro.
And Jesus loved in truth. Amen?
Amen.
1 John chapter 5.
Come on, bro. It's great.
1 John 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. By loving God and carrying out His commands.
Come on.
This is love for God. That makes it pretty simple. This is love for God. To obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. What is love? You know, love's action, love's forgiveness. Love's not reciprocal, but it's also it's obeying Him.
Yep.
The Bible's... you can't be more clear than this is love for God, to obey His command.
Come on.
You don't love God if you don't obey Him.
Yep.
So many people rely on the emotional... Like, they take their worldly aspect of, hey, I have an emotional connection, and they bring that into Christianity and go, hey, I have an emotional connection with God.
Talk about
so
it, bro.
So I don't have to really love with action anymore.
Talk about it.
So many people bring that into Christianity, and the Scriptures teach that
right.
You've got to obey God.
That's right.
The question
right.
is, are we obeying God? What are we not obeying?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between faltering, I'm trying to obey, but I just messed up, but I'm really trying. And you know what? I want my Christianity to be just kind of words and tongue. I want my love to be just words and tongue. Guys, we got to love obeying His commands. We look here in the Scripture and it says, His commands are not burdensome. Now, I read the Scripture and I thought to myself, you know, I've really thought that sometimes. It's like burdensome. Like, I've really thought that before.
Yeah.
Like, I read the Scripture and I was like, is that right? His commands are not burdensome. You know, don't you feel like that sometimes? Like, there's a lot of stuff we've got to obey. I mean, let's be honest, seriously. Have you ever thought, man, I got so much stuff to do. I got picking. I got to sit here. I got my school. I got my work. I got this. I got that. And then I got to follow God. Man, you know, the commands of God. I want to share with you guys two things. Psalm 119, verse 14.
Come on, bro.
I want to tell you two situations when the commands of God are burdensome. The first one is the command of God is they are burdensome when you're not even close to Him. When you don't have a relationship with Him. Psalm 119, verse 14. Here he's going on and on about the Word, His commands. And he says, verse 13, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. What's David's heart here? You can tell he has a deep relationship. It says he delights in it.
Yes, come on. Yes.
Now, I've shared this with a lot of the campus students, but I just love this picture of just eating a great cookie and just getting delight out of it. Like you know that good cookie that's like warm, just a little bit right out of the oven, got the chocolate chips.
Yeah.
And you kind of bite it, just kind of goose, just a little bit. And you just kind of get that little smile on your face, like, oh, how's good, man. You got another one? Oh, man, that's so good. That's how David considered the Word of God. He considered it, oh, man, that was awesome.
It is awesome obeying God.
That's right.
It is awesome following
right.
God. It is awesome not neglecting the word, but following it to the T. Yep.
That's right.
Guys, when we don't have a deep relationship with God, they are burdensome.
Yep. Yeah.
When you're not close to Jesus, and you know he tells you something, it's for your own good, it's going to be burdensome. Think about it. It's going to be burdensome. We don't got enough time, but the second one is when you don't have discipling in your life. We don't have discipling in your life. Matthew 28:20 teaches we got to make disciples, baptize them, and we teach them to obey everything.
Yep.
See, we don't just naturally come out the, you know, Billy, when you naturally come out there, you're not going to just be like, oh yeah, I want to obey the word now. Man, it's going to be awesome. We got to be taught to obey.
That's
I know
right.
I needed that.
That's right.
I needed, you know, I'm so thankful to have Chris in my life.
Amen.
Teaching me to obey the scriptures.
Amen, bro.
Because I flat don't see some of the scriptures sometimes.
Mm.
But then also, I plain don't want to sometimes.
Mm.
And someone needs to get in my life, get my heart right, so I can really obey the
Amen.
Scriptures.
That's a disciple.
Let's finish up in John 15.
Come on, bro.
John 15.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, John 15. We're going to close up, and then, man, Joel's going to come up here, preach the word.
Amen.
Amen. John 15. Finish up here. John 15, verse 1. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Yes.
My command is this, love each other. As I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
Yeah.
You know, guys, obeying God gives you joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scripture says, I told you all this,
yeah.
So stay in my love, stay, obey me. I've done all that so that you'll have joy. Guys, if you're not joyful, I want you to really think about something. Are you obeying the commands of God?
Come on, Anthony.
If you're not joyful in your life, if you're not fired up to be a disciple, if you're kind of just doing this number on service, or you're just coming, guys,
come on,
I mean, you've got to obey the scriptures, and that does give us joy.
Come on.
But the thing is, when we think about it beforehand, we start going, I don't have to obey. Kind of like a kid, you know, like, I don't have to obey my mom. Alright. You know, but it's because he cares about us that he wants us to obey.
That's right.
Guys, let's have a deep conviction. What commands are you not obeying?
Amen.
If you want to love God, if you want to be a friend of God, if you want to be joyful, then you've got to obey the word. God works for the good of those who love him. Do you really love God? Amen? Amen.
Come on, bro. Awesome.
Romans 8:28. You know, I'm so grateful for Anthony. You know, moving to Chicago. You know, I had a great friend in Patrick. I had a great friend in Greg. You know, and just coming here, just being roommate, and me and Anthony has just been such an inspiration. You know, a man that truly loves God. You know, and definitely someone I'm looking up to, and I'm trying to imitate. So here in Romans 8:28, we're going to read where Anthony started us off. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You know, Anthony totally laid out love. I mean, I believe he did a great job preaching about love here, but I'm going to talk about being called to a purpose, guys.
Come on.
We have been called to a purpose. I got 3 points for you. I believe because we are called to a purpose, we've been called to 3 things. Number one, we have been called to righteousness. Number two, we have been called to a relationship. And number three, we have been called to a revolution. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2.
Come on, Joel. Preach your word, bro. Right now.
Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says,
But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. I want to hold up a brother right here. The other day, Greg Biggs was walking, and you know, he was like, I gotta share my faith, you know. And there were these two guys standing on the corner, and you know, Greg didn't care. Greg's awesome at that. He doesn't care what people think about him, you know. And he walked up to him, and he just started sharing his faith. You know, it's really important to come to church, you know, and just sharing his life. And you know, they didn't take it too well. They took out a gun, they hit him on the head three times, and they robbed him. They took his money. And they took a watch that was very valuable to him that his dad left him when he was little. You know, and we can look at that and we can be like, Greg, man, that is so foolish. What the heck are you doing? You know, walking up to two random guys on a street corner. You know, Greg, that is not smart.
Yep.
You know, and in my immediate reaction when he said that was like, Greg, man, what are you getting yourself in trouble all the time? You know, and you know, and we can look at it. And we can say, man, and really kind of look down on him, you know.
Come on, bro.
But we see here, God commends him for his faith. God looked at him and said, God, Greg, you did an awesome work. God, you were doing good. And God commends him. And Greg, I'm so proud of you. I'm grateful to be your roommate. Let's read on. We're going to talk about being called to righteousness. Here in verse 21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You know, our world, we have a structure, don't we? You commit a crime, you break the rules, you pay the price. You know, you reap the consequences. And here we see God, if you're doing good, God's not gonna look down on you, but he's gonna commend you, you know. And God really commends you for doing good. You know, another thing that we see here, Jesus didn't retaliate.
That's
Jesus
right.
Had every reason to retaliate. He was being punched in the face, slapped, spit on, you know, hit, you know, mocked. They were making fun of his father. I don't know about you guys, but I think one of the areas of my life that can really cause me anger is when people you know, try to make fun of my family or harm my family. You know, that's when I can just really get protective. But God says that Jesus did not retaliate.
Come on,
you know, he had every reason to retaliate. Do you retaliate when you're persecuted?
Yeah.
When people look down on you? You know, when you get in a scuffle with a brother, do you retaliate?
Yeah.
What is your heart in the situation? If Christianity is easy for you, then you're probably missing something.
Yep,
you know, Christianity
right.
is not easy.
That's right.
You know, Christianity is hard.
It is hard.
It was not easy for Jesus to walk down that road, have people throw stuff at
That's
him,
right.
hit him with sticks, hit him with rocks, getting punched, slapped in the face. It was not easy for him to not retaliate. But no deceit was found in his mouth. And he hurled, as they're hurling insults at him, he did not retaliate.
Come on,
turn over to Philippians chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
Keep coming, bro.
Here in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read in verse 12.
Amen.
It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I had not run or labor for nothing. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all you, so that you too should be glad and rejoice with me. You know, there's a few things we got to understand about Christianity here. Number one, we got to learn to obey. You know, God, we got to learn to obey the God, we got to learn to obey the Bible, and the people that God's put in our lives. You know, God has put incredible people in our lives to really help us through these hard times. You know, I know for me, if a brother comes to me immediately, if I feel like ever in the past, if I can spot anything in his past that could possibly cause a dispute between us, immediately my wall just shoots up. I don't even want to hear him, you know, and I can totally be judgmental, mm-hmm. you know, think, man, this guy's a hypocrite, you know, but that's just my sin, you know. And we see here that we got to learn to obey, you know, not only in Jesus' presence, but in his absence. You know, when times are hard, we got to learn to obey. Another thing we got to learn to do is we got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We got to work it out with fear and trembling. It is not easy. You know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, you know, he talks about the Pharisees. You know, and when they bring sins against you, you got to obey them. Don't do what they do because they do not practice what they preach. But guys, if someone is in our life and they're calling us to the standard, if they're calling us to the law and they're upholding the word of life, we need to be listening to them, guys.
Yeah.
We need to be humble and we need to totally listen to them.
Come on.
Another thing we gotta do, guys, is we gotta become blameless and pure. Guys, when we're at work, when we're at school, you know, it's not easy to become blameless and pure. You know, it says, do everything without complaining or arguing. It's easy to complain and argue.
Yes,
anybody
yes,
can complain and argue, you know, but a real man doesn't complain and argue, guys.
Well,
we
okay.
cannot complain and argue. If we want to become blameless and pure in God's sight, we cannot complain and
Come
argue
on, bro.
About the little stuff.
Come on, bro.
Something else, guys, we got to hold out the word of life.
Yep.
You know, do you really believe that this is the word of life?
Yes.
That it can bring change in someone's life?
Yes.
That it can bring to you to a new life?
Yes.
You know, I think of Josh over here. You know, you ask Josh if this is the word of life, he will tell you it is the word of life.
Yeah.
I remember when we met him over on State in Roosevelt, you know, and me, Patrick, and Mark Hill were kind of just walking, and Patrick's like, let it flow, bro. So I'm like, all right, you know, so I go up to Josh. I go up to Josh and you know, I start talking to him. He's like, "Oh, I'm already a Christian." I was like, "Oh, you're a Christian? You come out to church." He came out to church that day. We started studying the Bible, and now he's your brother in Christ.
On,
you know,
baby,
if you ask Josh if this is the word of life, he's going to tell you it is the word of life.
Come on.
And we gotta be holding it up. We gotta be talking about it and sharing it with people.
Amen.
Guys, another thing we see here is we gotta learn to sacrifice.
Yeah,
guys, it takes a lot of sacrifice. To be a disciple, it takes a lot of sacrifice. You know, I think of coming to Chicago. You know, I had such a comfortable life in Syracuse. I could have just stayed there, been happy, you know, not really go through a whole lot of hard times. It's on the basketball team. I mean, things were just comfortable, you know. But we are called to sacrifice. And I didn't come to Chicago to work at Sports Authority or go to school at UIC. You know, I came to Chicago for all those people. 9.5 million
Come
souls.
On,
guys, they need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the word of life.
On,
you know, and I'm not... No, wait. we gotta see our purpose, guys. God gave us a greater purpose than our jobs, than school. God, he gave us the word of life so that we can share it with others. Guys, you know, I also think about going to school. You know, I like to share with people at school. I like to share my faith with people, meet a lot of people. But, you know, one thing with the girls, you know, you reach out to the girls, and a lot of times, you know, they can be a little standoffish. Like, who's this kid? Why is he talking to me about this? You know, but you know, you want to know why they're like that? Our world is jacked up. You know, our world is messed up. You look at guys in the world, they look at a woman like a piece of meat. You know, they're just wondering, oh, what can she do for me?
Come on.
You know, it's selfish, guys, and that's our world.
Yep.
But when I, as Christians, as we should be, when I see a girl in the world, I don't care about what she can do for me. I want to know where her soul's at.
Come on, bro.
You know, does she have a relationship with God?
Come on.
You know, and that's gotta be our hearts, guys. That we don't look at women like that. As we gotta get deep conviction on our purity here.
That's right, bro.
Imagine if our world, if everyone was doing what was right. Imagine the difference on our campuses.
Come on.
I mean, imagine the difference at your workplace. How much different would it be? I mean, it would be a complete turnaround. People do not live by the word of God, you know? And I can just imagine, you know, going to school and hearing people on campus. Hey, you hear about that study the other day? Or, hey, we just baptized a few guys the other day. You know, just like, it's a good news. But what do I hear about? Hey, you going to that party? Hey, yeah, I got wasted last night. You know?
Yep, talk about it.
I don't feel too good. Or I skipped my first class because I was out late, you know, with my girlfriend last night. And I hear all this crap, and it's just ridiculous.
Come
guys,
on, bro.
What our world has to put up with.
Yes.
You know, if we really can focus on a righteousness, on a relationship with God, our individual relationship with God. Guys, we're gonna want to be focused with a relationship with other people. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1.
Bro, it's good stuff, bro.
Come on, bro. Bring it.
Go, Joel.
No, 1 Peter 2, verse 23 talks about Jesus. He did not retaliate. You know, and when he was going through hard times, what did he do? He entrusted himself to God.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't focus on himself. He completely entrusted himself to God. And guys, as Christians, as disciples, we got to give our lives over to God. We cannot worry about the consequences. We cannot worry about the different things, trials and hardships that come through our life.
Come on, bro.
We got to be completely submissive to God and His authority, to the Word of God, to the people in our lives that are here to help us. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read here in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." You know, guys, we got to understand, God chose us in love. You know, He just didn't randomly pick us. Oh, you know, this guy's a cool kid. You know, he's popular. He chose us in love. He has a purpose for our lives.
Yeah.
You know, He wants us to excel. He wants us to live life to the full, John 10:10.
Yeah, right.
You know, He wants us to just live awesome lives according to His purpose and His will.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I just see here is God wants us to be a part of His family. You know, the close people in my life are my family. You know, and God wants us to be His sons, to be His daughters. Guys, you just think about that bond that God wants between you and Him. You know, just an awesome, you know, it's not like a peer-to-peer relationship. It's like, Father, like, I need you. Like, we are His sons. We are His daughters. And that should just fire you guys on up, man.
Come on,
you know, and He wants us as His children. Let's read on here in verse 6. It says, "To the praise of the glory of this glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, for the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, be to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." Guys, our world, people don't know their purpose. Let me show you what people live for right here. This
come
is what
on.
People
yeah.
live for. People
yeah.
live
come on,
for,
bro.
People live for the green. They live for their job. They live for their family.
Yeah.
As people are, we're just so selfish. People do not know their purpose.
Mm.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people. Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to figure out my life right now. I don't really know what I want or what I want to do when I'm
that's
older.
Right.
You know, and that's just so sad because that's what our world has to offer. Nothing.
Yeah.
Our world has nothing to offer. People have no purpose. Our purpose in life,
on,
when we were out there, it was a mystery. You know,
oh, yeah.
People don't know their purpose because it's a mystery. They don't know how to look for it. They don't know where to find it. And He has made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. There we go. You know, the purpose in our lives is a mystery. You know, where do people find the true purpose in life? They don't know.
Yeah.
They look at their job, look at their family, look at their friends, look at their money. That's why they never find it. Because it's a mystery. I'll tell you where it is. This is where our purpose is.
Come on,
in life. This is where we need to find our purpose.
Reveal it,
guys. How are they going to find their own purpose if their Bible's sitting on their bookshelf?
Come on, bro.
Because we need to be sharing it with them, guys.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
We need to be going out there and sharing it with them. God has called us to Chicago to be the most fired up church in Chicago.
Yeah. Come on, bro. That's right.
You know, when we're singing here in church, We're not here to just go, yeah, da, 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 da. There are a lot of congregations out there that you can go and sing, and people
yes.
give their whole heart.
That's right.
And they are sincere to what they believe. And I'll tell you, they do not believe the right stuff, guys.
Come
and
on,
they are
bro.
Sincere about it.
Right.
Guys, there is way more zealous singing out there than we have in this church.
Yep.
I know
come
a lot
on,
of times I can just be discouraged. Like, man, I'm not. At first, in my sin, I'll look at others and be like, man, why isn't he singing wholeheartedly? And
bro.
I'm sin like this. Oh, dang.
Come
you
on,
know,
bro.
I gotta
yeah,
be
yeah.
into it. Guys, we gotta be the most fired up church in Chicago.
Come on, bro.
That's what we're here for. If we're gonna call those people into here, we gotta be the most fired up
that's
church.
That's right. Come
we gotta,
on,
we
bro.
Gotta make the word of God attractive, guys.
Yes, that's right.
Come on, bro.
Guys, we have been called to a relationship, not only with God, we have been called to a relationship to each other. And I really appreciate what Anthony was sharing about, you know, how we got to love each other.
Yes.
You know, in 1 John 4, it talks about anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen.
Come on.
We can't see God. You know, when we're out in the world, we can't see God. But I tell you, you come in our church, you can see God.
Yep.
You see God through us. Guys, back in Philippians, it talks about we are stars, guys, in a universe to shine.
Come on,
guys,
bro.
We are meant to shine. Our universe is dark. And I remember going to teen camp, and we would lay down in the grass and look up, and we'd see all trillion stars. I don't know how many. Ridiculous amounts. A lot of stars. It was just incredible just to look up and think, man, God is incredible. You know what God sees when he looks down on our world? He sees a big black circle, you know? And he sees us just shining like
Come
stars
on, bro.
In a depraved generation. Yes. That is our purpose, to shine like stars
in
the surface and meet other people.
Come on, bro.
Amen. You know, I'm so grateful for my relationship with Anthony.
Come on.
You know, I believe like it's really growing. And Chris always makes the joke, you know, Twin Towers, but I don't know if I like that too. I don't know if I like that too much. But you know, me and Anthony, I want to be such a duo with Anthony.
Come on,
you know,
bro.
I
want to
be such a duo with Patrick
and
Greg. You know, we need these relationships in our lives. God, guys, when we focus on a righteousness and when we focus on our relationship with God, we're going to have a relationship with each other. And guys, that is a revolution.
Yeah,
and that, which brings me to my third point.
Come
guys,
on.
We are called to a revolution.
Come on,
turn
come
back
on.
Over to Romans chapter 8.
All right, bro. Bring it home.
Here in Romans 8, we're going to read on where we left off. Here in verse 29. Let you guys get there for a second. In verse 29 it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who was raised to life.
Amen.
Is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Guys, we got to love God. First of all, we got to love God. We got to love the people in our lives. We got to love the relationships God has put in our lives.
Man.
Guys, we are more than conquerors.
Come on,
God,
bro.
God has called us to a higher purpose than to go and work and to make money. He has called us to a higher purpose than to raise a great family and have some kids. God has called us to a purpose to evangelize this world.
Come
guys.
On, bro.
Guys, God has called you individually. God has called you, Billy. God has called Anthony. God has called Chris. God has called everybody here to really live for revolution. And when we can focus on our righteousness, when we can focus on our relationship, we will understand the revolution we have been called to. God be glory. Amen.
Wow. Again, I say what's powerful about what you just saw is it wasn't just words. But I know these guys' lives. Amen? And if you're our guest today, I want to invite you to get to know our lives. Amen? Again, you can go to a lot of churches and hear a very similar sermon to what you might have heard today. But what I've seen growing up going to church and then studying the Bible and focusing on my life, my righteousness, and you got to really look deeply so that it's life and doctrine. That's when you stop and you go, man, now I got to listen to what's being said because I respect the life. Amen?
Yeah.
So let's thank Anthony and Joel one more time. Awesome, awesome job. And I want to thank, of course, Craig and Brittany as well, just sharing their lives for the communion. That was an awesome job as well. Amen.